Fair, uncut.
QZ Ed and Erin, the podcast. Now, www.beysis.com. Basis is the name of the company. And we are joined by the founder, co-founder, Ariana Hendry in the studio. Hello, Ariana.
Hey, guys. How are you?
We're
really good. Now, you came to our attention because Oprah Winfrey was spruiking your water bottle recently. That's a true story, isn't it?
It is a true story. It's been 2 weeks now, so I thought potentially that the wave that we were riding would end, but we're still on it. So
this is incredible. So you just take us back to the moment where you found out that Oprah was into your water bottles.
Well, it was a Wednesday, I think. I had literally dropped my daughter off at school. I was running late as usual, got into the office, and our marketing assistant basically said to me, there's a call from one of our US stockers. She wants to congratulate you for this exposure. And I said to her, what is she talking about? I said, I have no idea, but she's mentioned Oprah. So I jumped online and Googled Oprah Winfrey Basis, just trying to see.
We've got to hear it. We love playing it here, even when you're not here, Ariana. Here we go.
I was looking for the perfect water bottle. I love the smoothness of this one when you pull it out of your bag. And the most important is having everybody's name on the water bottle.
Was that you guys or was that Oprah doing the
It was actually her.
Oh,
although
wow.
In a subsequent TikTok that we did, I think we were making similar noises. So there was confusion about who it was. So, so we saw this thing and there were profanities. I sort of lost it. And then I said to the girls, because we were an all-female team, I said, oh, my, this is incredible. You've got to come and see this. So, yeah. And then it started from there.
So let's get back to how did Oprah get to have that water bottle in her hand and get on her video?
Well, we had to backtrack then because we were like, how did this actually happen? And so we went back and went through the artwork requests and found Oprah. And it turns out she's obviously got this enormous team and she's got an event coordinator who's based overseas who had just very inconspicuously said, I need 50 units of your product with the following names for an event I'm hosting in Hawaii. That's all she said.
And Oprah didn't kind of spark anyone's interest?
No. And the weird thing was, originally it was initials. So originally it was OW. And then and then about, I don't know, 48 hours later, she said, I've changed my mind. Can we change OW to Oprah?
Maybe that's what they do originally, not to. Yeah, that's. Oh, wow.
But you still didn't spark.
Still didn't tweak.
Still didn't spark that it's Oprah Winfrey and.
No, Husey, it's embarrassing, but no.
Could be a massive moment for your company. How long has this company been going?
So it was. The idea was founded in 18, but we didn't go live until. Must have been October of 2019. So. You know, there was a big process and a big investment of time to get it up and running. And then we thought, you know, we've got this nailed. We think we've got, a range that we're ready to go to market with. And then 4 months later, I should say, the pandemic hit. And
that's tough.
Was it a range of water bottles or is it other stuff as well?
The theme, I think, for us is that we sort of thought, you know, we're all starting to make these eco-conscious decisions. I mean, by the beginning of next year, we'll have like single-use plastics completely, legislated out of use. So we thought, you know what? Why can't this stuff be sexy? Like, why does it have to be unattractive? And it needs to be affordable as well too. So we just felt there was a bit of a gap for sustainable products that look good.
Yep.
And then we took the view and maybe we could just have a point of difference that people can like play a part in creating it so they feel proud at the end. And so we added in the personalization feature so that they could say, you know what, if they've got their name on it, A, they're not going to lose it, and B, they're probably going to want to carry it around a bit longer than the average water bottle. So that's how it started.
But what is it about the water bottle that, you know, I mean, what do you need in a water bottle to make it stand out from the crowd apart from the personalization? Is there any tips? Or not, you want to give anyone a leg up in the water bottle industry. Is it the way that it you know, the pouring ability, or the, is it, do you suck
smooth
on these water bottles? Is it a straw sucking situation?
This is a very technical question, Husey. I think like the reality is that I think we're all very visual creatures. So for starters, it needs to look good. So we thought, okay, let's go with something that's very minimalist, that feels good to touch. So we'd spent a lot of time working on like the way it feels. So it's got this matte velvet finish. And then we thought, okay, well, it's got to be double insulated because you want to, you know, carry your water around and keep it cold as long as possible. Yep. So we tested with that and found that we could, if we did the right layer thicknesses of steel, that we could get keeping it cold for 24 and hot for 12.
Wow.
That's a long time.
Oh, and hot as well, so it does both.
It does both.
Yeah, amazing.
Yeah, and what about the amount of mils of fluid you can get in there? What's the perfect sort of amount that you decided upon? Or is
Well, this was polarizing. We started with small, like we started with 500 mils, thinking we'll go with something that everyone wants to carry. And then we had a bit of feedback saying, you know, is this a water bottle for small people?
For
we
ants.
Said, yes. And so we came up with a 1 liter variation.
Sorry, is that your water bottle there?
Yeah, this is embarrassing. this has just been handed to me.
It's been handed to you. It's just a plastic one for those listening.
Right.
Yeah.
That's
funny.
Is the 1 liter the biggest seller? Is it?
It's actually not. No. So it's behind the 500 mil.
Yeah.
I think the other thing too, we thought, you know, it's got to be, you know, portable, so you know the diameter fits in like 95% of cup
yes.
holders.
Yeah, right.
Yes,
and gym cardio
yes,
equipment.
Gyms,
we tried
guys.
To think of everything.
Yeah, but I mean, look, the fact is, we all should just drink water all the time, shouldn't we?
Yeah.
And so, what you're doing is a really good thing. You're actually helping people be healthy. But in your business, is it going berserk now?
I feel like it's so funny because I feel conflicted. On the one hand, I'm just so excited and happy that this has happened that I do want to speak really positively of it, but I also don't want to come off. But it has actually been a game changer without, like, you know, being too sensationalist about it. I think because there's just so much out there in e-com land right now, it's just really hard to get your head above the waterline. And something like this, it's been almost like a fire starter because all of a sudden, you know, you've had a spotlight shined on you, and it turns out that, like, our customers genuinely like what we sell. It's just trying to get it out there that's the hard part.
So how do you sustain this kind of gift that you've been given, essentially? How do you make sure you continue to grow? Because anything in the media, we know the cycle, it moves quickly. Others will come and go, and it will ebbs and flows. How do you sustain it?
I this is the really big question that we're talking about a lot internally at the moment. You're right. It's like, how do you ride that wave? I mean, we'd always been very active on social channels, and like I feel really conflicted about that because personally, like, it's not something that I feel really strongly about using, but for the business, it's the lifeblood of the business.
So you don't want to spend all your day looking at socials, and everyone's doing it and children are doing it. So partly you just think that social media can be a negative in society, but it's such an important part of your business.
Yeah, it is. It's like a necessary evil. So we'd put ourselves out there, especially on TikTok, which, you know, as a 40-something-year-old woman on TikTok, it's really hard to deal with. but we are genuinely pretty silly in the office, and it just translates. So I think for us, what has happened is that all of the energy we'd invested there before Oprah's like shined a light on us has helped them to sort of perpetuate it. So we're currently, you know, in the throes of a new marketing strategy to try and, you know, keep going.
Do you have international companies come in and try to buy you? Is that happened already? Or is, I don't know.
Who listens to this podcast?
All right. So you have.
No, at this stage, like, we haven't had anyone seriously. I mean, we've had all sorts of random approaches, but like, I think for us right now, it's like heads down, bums up, and
grow
and
it.
See where we can take it.
You were a lawyer previously.
Yes.
Lawyer/solicitor. So, what kind of skill set do you take from that into, I guess, things like copyright? Are you protecting your design? Like, how does that all work?
It's funny, actually, because I really didn't enjoy practicing law.
Yeah. It was boring.
It's a grind, and it's like, I think some people genuinely get off on it, but I just wasn't one of those people.
What area of law were you in? Which
I was in, like, commercial.
Not criminal law,
Did you have the dream? You're obviously smart at school, and, you know, you're like, here I am, I'm getting these really good marks, and my parents would be really proud of me if I became a lawyer. Was that sort of your situation?
Yeah, I think it was a case of like I think a lot of teenagers, like who knows when they're 18 what they want to do with their lives. I mean, I still don't necessarily know what I want to do. But
and lawyer, you can apply to almost anything, can't you? Business, there's a million different fields.
Yeah.
It's always applicable.
And that was the argument at the time. It was like, why don't you just try something that is, you know, generalist and you can see how you go. And so even though I really disliked it in full-time practice, the reality is I am that person in the business now that sort of, you know, if there's an employment agreement or if, you know, the shit hits the fan.
Yeah, you can say shit. Yeah.
I can?
On the podcast.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
On the, okay, great.
Yeah. You can say worse if you want.
Oh, can I? But don't open the gates.
Was the focus of the amount of hours you had to do to study to become a lawyer, have you been able to translate that work ethic into this business?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think it's really, like, you know, it sounds a bit trite, but it's really difficult for lawyers that first come out in the sense that you do have to put in some serious grind. You know, 14, 16 hour days were not uncommon.
Yeah.
So anything after that has been, you know, I won't say a walk in the park, but it does condition you for working pretty hard.
So you have an idea, water bottles. How do you make that into something real? Because a lot of people have great ideas. I think I'd love to do that or I want to start this business, but how do you make it a reality?
Yeah, I think there's a lot more resources out there now than there was even 3 years ago, I think. In fact, you know, I don't know whether I'm a target, but I'm constantly spammed on Instagram with, you know, people telling you the secret ingredients to, you know, launching your business. I think you've got to be really wary of that. You know, I think a lot of people put a gloss on how easy it is. It's not easy.
Have you had businesses that didn't work before this or...?
I had one business that I ran for 10 years before this. It did work, but I think that's actually a danger because it can sometimes give you a false confidence. Oh, you do this again, it'll be successful, and that's definitely not the case.
Yeah,
in fact,
right.
I suspect on probability it's unlikely that you'd have...
Like a horse when you buy a share in a horse, you know. It's unlikely it will ever make it to the track.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
If your first one does, you're screwed for life.
Exactly.
Been there.
So your business has grown, you're employing more staff. They talk about how hard it is to get workers. Have you found that?
Yes. Yeah, definitely. Especially in this last 12-month window, I don't know what's happened, but we have a similar repetitive role that we often need to hire for, and I keep sort of copying and rerunning the same ad. And I actually just jumped in yesterday to see what's happened, and it's, you know, 18 months ago there were 250 applicants for this same role, and now, you know, then 12 months ago it dropped to 120, and then we ran the same in January, it's down to 50, and I don't know where everyone is.
It's weird, isn't it?
It's so weird.
What role is it?
It's just customer service and order fulfillment. It's not like a very niche area, but
it's reasonable pay, I imagine.
Yeah, we pay above award, and
still no one is care. No one's there's no one there.
I don't know where everyone is, Husey. I really don't.
Well, thank you, Ariana Hendry at Basis Official, BEYSIS Official. Basis.com is where you can go and be like Oprah, carry around the best water bottle in town. Ariana, thank you very much for joining us.
No, thank you so much for having me.